Have you ever had one of those moments when all you wanted to do was to sit down, get entirely comfortable, and put your headset on? You can listen to your favorite music or whatever coming through the headset, and you can get lost in those sounds for just a few minutes. Maybe it's one of those things you just need some time away from the things that are nagging at you and troubling your soul for that week or that day. You know, maybe it's job concerns or trouble or unrest at home, school problems. You know, or maybe it's just that feeling of being overwhelmed by too much month and too much and too little financial resources to make it to the end. Many of us come here on Sunday morning to escape the bombardment of all of the social media things, the political issues that come through the TVs, the electronic stuff, or newspapers, or the written media that hits us. You know, I'll admit that I'm one of those. I'm probably going to shock a few of you. Perhaps I'll find some doors that close in my face. Or maybe I'll simply now be shunned because I say this. For this hour, for this very hour, I want to be here underneath of this cross, looking at these simple candles, and know that where I'm at, I'm going to meet God today. This is my place. This is the place where I find spiritual renewal and find the strength. This is my place to learn how to work with the people outside of those doors and to show them that not always agreeing with them is not a bad thing. It becomes the opportunity to share how I feel and how I've been taught, and what I think God has for me to say to them. So at this moment, in this very quiet place, today, for this hour, it's just you and me and God. Okay, now, close your eyes. Don't go to sleep on me, Larry. I want you to imagine your favorite recliner. I want you to put your feet up. I want you to put your head back on a soft pillow. You're going to put your headset firmly over your ears so you can hear nothing but those wonderful sounds of music like Ron played for us earlier, or my wonderfully melodic voice. Well, do the problems that we encounter seem to be so much and so much overshadowing the joy we as Christians are supposed to have? All of these situations occur and happen to every one of us. Having problems is not the problem. I'll repeat that. Having problems is not the problem. We experience them in one form or another, and the real solution to these problems comes from how we meet those challenges and how we go about resolving them and we grow and growing from those experiences. You know, God doesn't want us to be unhappy. He doesn't want us to be troubled. He knows, and he's experienced the same things as he lived here on this earth just before he willingly gave his life for each one of us. We've all read and heard that verse in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Behind me on the screen is how it reads in the King James Version. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now, for some of us, it's a little tough reading. So here's what it looks like in the NIV version. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted above and beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he will also provide a way out that you can endure it. Even though the problem looks insurmountable at the moment, we still have to remember that he has given us an out. It's tougher than steel to remember that we are in the midst of a crisis, that there's a solution, and that God will prevail. Perhaps you say or you think, well, tell me that when I discover my job's closing and I'm going to be out of work. Or maybe when your spouse comes home and says, you know, I'm leaving and I'm not coming back. Or maybe when the doctor calls you in and has disastrous news. Tell me then that he has a way out for me. I know that the verse uses the word temptation, but for today, for point of illustration, I'm going to use one of the following words, right? Trouble or problem or life situation. So take just a moment and substitute one of those words, one of your choosing, into that verse. It'll read a little bit more freely, but it's more in a language that we speak today. There has no trouble or problem or life situation overtaken you or I, but such is common to every man and woman. But God is faithful, and he will allow you to not be troubled beyond anything that you are able to endure. But he will, with a problem or life situation, make a way to escape that you and I will be able to bear it. Does that bring the verse into closer focus? Next time you have that feeling of being completely overwhelmed, you might try remembering that verse. Both you and I know that problems are not going to weigh all on their own. And if you choose to ignore them, they probably won't go away. They'll probably get bigger. But the key words in that verse were, with the temptation or crisis, he will make a way to escape it, that you will be able to bear it. That's our promise from God. And God doesn't go back on his promises. We all know that. Okay, so now we're back on our recliner again. The soft, sweet sounds of Tom's voice are ringing in your headset. We're sitting here and the music is making us relaxed and a little more mellow, and it's relieving some of the stress that piles up in our day. I'm going to tell you a couple of stories about people in a crisis, the effect the music that they wrote have, and how it's spanned the ages. The first story is about a hymn that's called It Is Well With My Soul. The words were written by Horatio Spofford, and they were in the music by Philip Bliss in 1873. It's based on a verse from the Bible that says this in Psalms 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, this piece of music is the first song that I remember when I have problems. I don't know why, but it always leads me from out of that slump into a position of strength, and it keeps me moving forward. For me, the melody is soothing. And when I think of the words, it brings me back to the roots of my faith and why I believe that Christ is not only my Savior, but he's the keeper in my times of trouble and unrest. Here's Mr. Spofford's story. In 1871, the great Chicago fire virtually ruined Horatio Spofford. He was a man of excessive wealth and many holdings, and the fire in Chicago wiped out most of those holdings. It was easily almost the biggest trial in his entire life, but it wasn't the biggest. The biggest came 2 years later in 1873, when he put his wife and four daughters on a sailing ship to go to England. They were going on vacation and to hear a noted minister and speaker. He was unfortunately at the last minute detained and couldn't go with them because he had a business venture he had to clean up. So he promised them he would meet them as soon as the business had taken place and it was concluded. On November 22nd, 1873, the ship carrying his wife and four daughters ran into another ship in the middle of the night. Passengers were jolted from their sleeping bunks, a lot of disarray, and then the wooden sailing ship began to tilt, and pretty soon it began to sink. Within 2 hours, the mighty ship that once sailed the seas was gone. There were 226 fatalities that day. All four girls died. The wife survived, clinging to a piece of wreckage. And when the 47 survivors landed in Cardiff, Wales, she sent a cable to her husband that said simply, "Saved, but alone." So Mr. Spofford got on a ship and he sailed to be with his grieving wife. As he passed over that part of the ocean where the ship had gone down, he wrote these words, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, or sorrows like sea billows roll," the lines would later become the first verse. He knew that Christ loved him. He also saw it in the cross. And when it gets to the end of the writing, he has Christ coming back in great triumph, not to judge him, but to save him and to raise his daughters from the dead. "It is well with my soul." In its verses, Mr. Spofford talks about the sorrow and the things that affront him as he walks through his life. They're mountainous and they're like huge sea waves that roll over top of him. He's completely covered by his troubles and his adversity, but he remembers God's teachings that he was taught. It's okay. It's all right. Your soul belongs to me. I will keep you. I believe he was thinking of his inner spirit at that time, not his outer body. In the second verse, he remembers his own sins and shortcomings and how they're nailed to the cross, every last one of them. It's a wonderful and absolutely joyous thought, he says. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Aren't we as Christians supposed to be happy and absolutely joyous in the fact that our shortcomings and our own frailties are nailed on the cross with Christ? Aren't those shortcomings aren't they basically something that we can be totally triumphant about? And shouldn't we often have a smile on our face and in our hearts because of that? In the last verse, Mr. Spofford asks God to hasten the day when all the unseen things that we had faith in become reality. He can reach out and touch and know for sure that his faith was not unfounded. He's totally excited about Christ coming back, and he's going to gather his flock. He'll see his daughters again. Do you look forward to the day when Christ will return? Do you remember to live today as if he showed up beside you and he put his arms around you? The next hymn is another favorite. And it's a favorite because it's God's steadfast love to each one of his believers. It was written in 1923 by Thomas Obadiah Chisholm. Mr. Chisholm was just a regular person like you and I. He was led to Christ at the age of 27, but his health was unstable, so unfortunately, his working was balanced between times of health and times of illness. He worked at a bunch of different jobs. He was everything from a journalist to an evangelist. And through all the ups and downs of his life, he discovered that God had a new blessing for him each and every day. There's a verse in Lamentations that he took a particular liking to, and it's Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23. It reads like this. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because of his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. This particular hymn is one of inspiration and strength in the face of adversity and in our hardships. Many people have claimed it as their own, and over the years, they've had much that they could see in the verses. Another story comes to mind about two people who claimed it as their own. This story begins in Kansas in the Great Depression and the Dust Bowl era. Two families were struggling to make ends meet and to keep their large families fed. One family had seven children. There were five boys and two girls. The other family had eight children, five girls, three boys, and a baby on the way. The grandparents of both families lived with them, and so they were a multi-generational family. The decision was made that they would move from Kansas to Washington State because the work would be more plentiful there, and there was a promise of land where they could put down roots to grow not only their crops but their families. They packed up and left Kansas with nearly all of the possessions that they could carry on two Model A's, and they started for a new life. The trip north was filled with a lot of breakdowns, a lot of tire troubles, bad roads, poor weather, but both families relied on each other, and most importantly, on their strong faith and their faith in God that would keep them moving through this. Both families both enjoyed music, and they sang nearly every night along the way. The favorite hymn of Grandmother Cleaver was "Great is Thy Faithfulness." In its lyrics, she taught her children and her grandchildren to rely on God for all of their answers and to find something new each day to be thankful for. She taught them to be cheerful and glad for every new challenge. No matter the hardship or time of year, whether it was the heat of summer or mud in the springtime or snows of winter, each season gave proof to God's unfailing mercy and love for the families as they both worked together to get to through the end of their journey. To make a very long story short, the second first person who found so much strength in that and encouragement in the lyrics of that music was the middle daughter of the second family. Her name's Norma, and she was a pianist and organist for her church from the time that she was 16 years old. She's retired from playing at church now, but if you ask her, one of her favorites is still "Great is Thy Faithfulness." She's 95 years old now, and she still plays. 2 weeks ago, she played for me, her favorite hymn. She's an inspiration to everyone that meets her. She's blessed beyond belief, and she's lived her life amid her own challenges and her own personal hardships the strength in those words. Norma is my mother. So in case you're wondering at this point, I mentioned traveling north. There were two families. The second family, or the first family, was the Shermer family. My father was the middle son of the first family. He later would marry the middle daughter of the Cleaver family. And I'm the middle son. So many of us come to church on Sunday, and then we're looking for an answer to a particular problem, or because some event in our lives has caused us to reach outside of ourselves to something greater. To be sure, every one of us probably has a favorite hymn and a piece of music that we know. What's your favorite hymn today? What piece of music is playing through your imaginary headset right now as we hear? As you think of the words and the melody, what gives you the strength to meet your own challenges? Are you humming it in your seat? And finally, I would ask you this. Are you restless in your faith? And by that, I mean, are you having problems that seem to be totally insurmountable? Are you searching for that little something that'll bring peace and, at the very least, an answer to some of those life distractions or the problems that we see? Are you looking at a place to channel your energy or your talents? This church, Altoona Christian Church, is a place filled with wonderful people. And I can assure you that your church family here love you and are genuinely concerned for each of you, without judgment, without reservation. All of us find strength by joining the hand of each other. Each of us has a gift to share. And we never know how the simplest act of kindness will affect our family and our friends. Never be afraid to ask your friend to pray with you or pray for you. You don't have to be specific about a particular problem, but just asking is our way to take that first step toward learning of God's goodness and mercies for each of us and his guidance in our lives. Okay, so you can wake up and remove your headsets. Think of the solitude and the refreshing sounds that you heard. I hope they were soothing. And maybe put in perspective some of the events that have happened outside of our doors this past week and this month. Events that shape and mold our lives today. Events that show us the necessity of being an overflowing vessel for Christ. Be glad that the lyrics and the words of that favorite piece of music has the power to bring you into his presence. I pray that he will give you the strength and the power to meet your challenges for this week, for this day, for this month. Let today be a day of new blessings, and knowing that God's faithfulness to each of us will sustain us in our times of joy and in our times of unrest. Amen.